The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Hello, we're here today with Alex Jones, who is a flight paramedic with Stat Flight that flies out of Rush Memorial Hospital. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming. I think that helicopters are fascinating to a lot of people, and I'm very happy to have you. Could you please explain a little bit about your company, Stat Flight, and a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. We're happy to be here. I work for a company called PHI Air Medical. It's based out of Phoenix, Arizona. And we partner with St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis, and we created St. Vincent Stat Flight.
Is this the only location in Indiana?
No, actually, we have 6 bases located all over Indiana. Rushville, West Lafayette, Anderson, Evansville, and Greencastle.
So how does one become a flight paramedic?
You get your EMT certification, and then you go to school to be a paramedic. And then after you get your paramedic, and you've been a paramedic for at least 3 to 5 years, it requires 911 background. It requires transfer service, and we really like to have our paramedics have some rural transfer service as well.
So you want them to have worked in a rural community before?
Absolutely. It definitely helps because you get used to having the long patient transport times.
What is it like to work at StatFlight?
Well, I get to come to work every day and go flying, so I really love my job. We love taking care of people. It's definitely a passion that we all have.
Is paramedic the only position on the helicopter other than the pilot?
Nope. We fly a 3-man crew. We have a pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic.
What are your shifts like? Is this like an 8-hour day that you work?
We actually work in 24-hour shifts. We have a small house across the street from the helipad. Fully stocked kitchen, bedrooms. We are actually on location for 24 hours. The med crew is. The pilots only work 12-hour shifts. They're not there as long as us. That's a FAA requirement.
Are all of the, you call your flights runs, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So are all of these medical runs that you do?
Not always. Some are medical, some are trauma. We do a variety of different flights. We have our interfacility transfers, which is taking a patient from one facility to another. Especially if they need a specialty service that's not at the location where they are. And then we do our scene flights as well. That's mostly the motor vehicle accidents. We have ATV accidents, things like that, where we actually go out to the scene, land on scene, and take the patient directly from a scene to the hospital.
And do you do community events?
Absolutely. That's one of the things we actually love doing. We do a lot of community events, and we do a lot of training and education with the local fire departments and the local EMS. Actually, one of the things that we actually really enjoy doing at the Rush Hospital is the teddy bear clinic.
The children love the teddy bear clinic, and what child doesn't love a helicopter?
They love to see the helicopter. We love to talk to them and let them sit and look inside and see what we do.
So speaking of the helicopter, what type of helicopter is it that you fly?
So we fly in a Bell 407. It's a single engine aircraft. Each one of our bases actually has its own mechanic that is dedicated to that base and that aircraft. So they're going to become very familiar with the aircraft that they're working on. Our mechanics work Monday through Friday.
Are helicopters hard to take care of?
Yes. They require a lot of maintenance and upkeep. We have a lot of hourly things that have to be done every so many hours that we fly. It's a full-time job to take care of an aircraft.
Well, I guess that's why they have a full-time person. What kind of equipment do you have on the helicopter? Medical equipment.
We are basically a ER and an ICU rolled into a very small aircraft. We have a ventilator to help patients breathe. We have blood and plasma that we take on every one of our flights. We also have a variety of medications, including antibiotics.
Do you have to do maintenance on your medical equipment too?
We do. We have maintenance that has to be done, and it has to be done at certain times, and we keep track of that really well.
You mentioned having a nurse on the helicopter. How is the training for a helicopter nurse different than a regular nurse's training, or is it different? Is it just the same?
It is. It's a little different. The nurse kind of has to come into the EMS world a little bit more because they're not used to going out to a scene to pick a patient up. So that's kind of where we rely heavily on, like, the medics that are on the aircraft. The interfacility transfers is where the nurse comes in because they're used to the pumps and the different medications and drips and things like that. They actually are the same standard. They have to have 3 to 5 years in a busy ER or ICU setting.
So this isn't for anyone who's straight out of nursing school?
Definitely not. This is a very independent job.
I guess if you're functioning in a hospital as a nurse, you've got doctors there as backup. And when you're on a helicopter, you're in a pretty isolated environment, right?
Correct. A lot of critical thinking.
And maybe a lot of the unexpected.
Yes, we tend to have a lot of unexpected things that happen.
I've always thought of the helicopter as just a faster ambulance. But that's not really the case, is it?
No, it is faster. We do fly a lot faster. Approximately 120 to 180 miles an hour. So we do go a little faster, and it's a straight line. However, we do carry some things that most ambulances don't, such as our blood and plasma. We have a little bit wider range of medications, different scope of practice.
And you have more equipment, right? You have equipment that would not be found normally on an ambulance.
Correct.
So where did most of your pilots learn how to fly?
Most of our pilots actually came from the military. A lot of them are retired military guys that come out of military and want a job.
So they've had quite a bit of experience.
Absolutely. We definitely do not hire any pilots right outside of getting their pilot license. We want them to have a lot of flight time. They have to have over 2,000 hours of flight time prior to coming to us.
That is a lot of hours.
It's a lot of hours for a pilot.
When you pick up patients, how do you know where you're going to take that patient?
So our first answer will always be, we'll ask the patient where they want to go. If they are unable to answer us, where they don't have an answer for us, we usually will go to the closest facility wherever we are.
What is the geographic range? Like if you are called from the hospital, how far are you likely to go to pick up a patient?
Our aircraft can actually hold 2 hours and 30 minutes of fuel. 30 minutes of that is a reserve fuel, so we can fly up to 2 hours if we had to.
You mentioned landing at the scene of an accident. Is that sometimes an exciting experience?
It can definitely be exciting. Safety is our number one priority when we're landing on scene, so we have to be in very good communication with the ground crew that's there, which is why we do a lot of education with them and training, so when it actually does happen, everybody's prepared and knows what to do.
When you mentioned a ground crew, are these people employed by a local hospital?
Nope, this would be the local EMS or their local fire department to where we're landing.
So they get to the scene first and then they call you? Is that how that works?
Typically, yes.
I guess you wouldn't just dial up a helicopter.
Technically, you probably could. Anybody can call for a helicopter.
Most people just don't. They wait till police or fire get there.
What about the effect of the weather? Does this cause you to have issues maybe getting to the scene of accidents?
Yes, sometimes we definitely have issues with weather. Our aircraft is not instrument rated. Our Greencastle aircraft is instrument rated, but we cannot fly in the clouds. So what we do a lot of times is we will actually just call the next closest aircraft, see if they're capable of flying.
So then you actually have a backup?
We do.
Do you have anyone you consult on the weather, or how do you determine what's good weather, what's bad weather? I mean, I'm assuming you don't just look out the window.
Our pilots and our med crews all get together. We have a strict safety regimen. So one of the things that we have is something called 3 to go, 1 to say no. So all 3 crew members have to agree to take the flight, which is a safety standard. If we have weather moving in after everybody agrees to take the flight, our pilot will call our operation control center, which is located in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a retired pilot, and he sits at a desk, and that's what he does. He looks at weather all day. So it's an unbiased opinion on what he thinks the weather is at our location and where we are going. He gives us the green light, and then we can take the flight. So there's several steps in place for safety measures for all of us to make sure that we make it to our destination.
I have never flown in a helicopter, and nothing personal, but I hope to never fly in one. So do you have other patients with that attitude who are just too afraid to get on the helicopter, or who are very doubtful about this whole experience?
We do have some patients that are afraid of flying, afraid of heights. One of the things that we do is we talk to that patient, tell them everything that's going on, tell them everything that's happening. We give them a headset, talk to them in the air. We've held hands with patients, and that's okay. That's what we enjoy doing.
And what about parents? I mean, letting your child go up on a helicopter would be a pretty scary thing if you were already you know, worried about your child being injured or sick.
We encourage parents to come with us whenever we are transporting a child, because that child is comforted seeing that parent. So we will let the parent sit next to the child.
Well, that sounds really good. And that would also mean the parent could arrive at the same time the child did. I know you can't give any numbers, but I have heard that it is extremely expensive to fly on a helicopter, especially a medical helicopter. Can you explain some of the reasons why this is such an expensive procedure?
Our aircraft is maintained 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our maintenance is there all the time to take care of the aircraft. We have a med crew there with a pilot 24/7.
You're paying for all the time that the helicopter is sitting there waiting for you in case it's needed. You're paying for all these people who are waiting in case the phone rings, so that when the phone rings for you, the answer is going to be, yes, we're available to help. I'm assuming helicopters are not inexpensive.
They are expensive.
So what do you do to help patients not be just completely overwhelmed by the enormous expense of having to take a ride on a medical helicopter?
One of the things that we offer is our PHI Cares membership. It is a membership that we offer to anybody in the community. It is $35 a year. It covers everyone in your household, including yourself. And what that $35 does is if you or anyone else in your household has to be transported by a PHI aircraft, and this is not just in Indiana, we have multiple bases in different locations across the country. We have California, we have Florida, Virginia, Texas, multiple other bases. Whatever your insurance company doesn't pay, your bill is considered paid in full. So it is definitely worth it.
So if I'm the victim of a shark attack in Florida, I can call your helicopter.
You can. We have a base in Florida.
So where can people sign up for this membership?
When you walk into the ER at the hospital, right on the left-hand side, there is a box that actually has the pamphlets. The Park Restaurant actually carries them as well. They're sitting at the cash register. And if you ever see any of our crew members, we typically have them on us. So you can just ask us for them. Or if you're ever around the aircraft and anybody ever sees us out, they're more than welcome to come check the aircraft out.
So I just have one last question. Is this actually your dream job?
It is. This is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time, and I am enjoying and loving every minute of it.
Well, we're certainly enjoying having you. Thank you so much for coming on today. I think before I had spoken with you, if I had been in need of your services, I would have been absolutely terrified. But just kind of understanding what you have on board, what training you have, a little bit of how you do what you do, I think it makes me more comfortable with the idea of having to take a trip. Hopefully I won't need it, but if I do, I think this has been a great preparation. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
You can listen to past shows of To Your Health. Log on to rushmemorial.com and click on podcasts. Join us again next week for another visit with Rush Memorial Hospital. It's To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital on Hometown Country 94.3 WIFE. The proceeding was a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting.